heard that Wikipedia won't let anybody post on Wikipedia, you know, that online university encyclopedia, if they have anything negative to say about homosexuality. No, because they love what they think is good. What is good is now evil. What was evil is now good. They're treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. As hard as it is to believe, there's churches all through this region that are teaching falsehood because they're teaching pleasure. We used to laugh about the health and wealth gospel, that people would be drawn in, that if you come to church and give money to the church, God will bless you and you'll become healthy and you become wealthy. Well, it's gotten far worse. Even in what used to be considered solid churches, they take on the appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. So what's Paul and God tell us to do? Avoid such people. Go down to the bold down below. This is also from 2 Timothy. We're starting in verse 13. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. Have you seen that? Evil people going from bad to worse, and saying what I'm doing is good. Deceiving and being deceived. It's not just that they're tricking at all of them, people that can. They're also deceived. But as for you, Kevin, you, each one of us, put your own name in, continue what you have learned firmly and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, how from childhood, isn't this true? From childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. Next page. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 5 we'll be covering some next week. That's the one of the two places you find the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 6. Corey can tell us more about it, but it's the Shema. The Jewish statement of faith. You know, for us, usually we talk about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Well, this is to the Jews, much the same thing. Hear, O Israel, Shema means hear. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today, which, by the way, we'll be doing more next week, which is the Ten Commandments, shall be on your heart. Know God's commandments, his goodness, his love. And what should we do with these? Just hide them in our heart? What are we supposed to do? You shall teach them diligently to your children. Let me add, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your enemies. Teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Okay. How about when you walk by the way? Yep. How about when you lie down? Oh, just before I go to bed. And when you rise up, first thing when I get up. Here. So what time of the day should I not be talking about and teaching God's righteous rules? Is there any time? Did he give us any out? No. What should we do when we leave here? We better know his words, know his truth, and be sharing it. There is no time that he says you can take a break. How about this one? I did it all my life. It's time for me to retire now. Does God say, and when you retire, you don't have to tell people about it, teaching them? No. Gene is here. Gene, I think you've probably been around a little longer than most of us. And she's still coming in here so she can teach others. She's going to talk about it, right?
Yes.
There's nobody that shouldn't hear and do it with a smile, because this is good news. This isn't bad. You're not whacking them with the Bible. You're telling about the good news of salvation. And we're supposed to bind them as a sign on our hands, on the front lips, between our eyes. This is part of the Jewish garb. Write them on the doorposts of your house. By the way, we have one right there on our doorpost. And on your gates. In other words, we should have it all around. this handout. Leave it around. Make copies. Hand it out to people. Say, hey, take a look at this. I'd love to hear. What are your thoughts on this? All right. Last things that I'm going to touch on. There's a couple other pieces somewhere here. Yes. Look at this, folks. How did we get into this mess in this country? We weren't always here. How did we end up turning away farther and farther and farther and farther and farther and denying the truth? Well, let's go back a few years to 1647. That was long before Gene was around. It was long before any of us were. This is the, it's called the Old Deluder Satan Act, and it was in Massachusetts and partly employed here in Connecticut, back before there was the United States, is back when they were first being settled. Now, I've given you the actual text. That's the top part that you can find online, but it's a little hard to read because the letters, like F's and S's, kind of get confused in some of this writing. So even when it's put more into using the right letters, it's a little confusing. That's what's below it. Here's what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the colony, had decreed as a law. It being one chief project of the old deluder Satan to keep men from the knowledge of the scriptures. Wow. This is a law. And they're justifying the law with this opening. The old deluder Satan, the deceiver, the liar, wants to keep people from the knowledge of the scriptures. Why would Satan want to keep people from the knowledge of the scriptures? Because all scripture is God-breathed. We don't want them hearing and knowing about God. We don't want them to be taught, corrected, reproved. We want them to be ignorant of God's word. That's what Satan says. So since it's the one of the chief projects of the old deluder Satan to keep men from the knowledge of scriptures, as in former times, keeping them in an unknown tongue, unknown to us because we don't speak Hebrew, don't read Hebrew, most of us, nor Greek. Meredith is studying, so we're going to have to do translations next. No, we won't. And then for a long period of time, they were translated into Latin. And most people didn't read Latin. My mother's the last person that I knew that had loved studying Latin, and she could translate Latin. Me, I have trouble translating English. Okay, so in former times, they were in an unknown tongue. So in these later times, by persuading from the use of tongues, meaning learning all these languages, that at least the true sense and meaning of the original might be clouded and have false glosses. In other words, Satan's trying to cloud the truth of scriptures, make it not available, not able for us to use and for ourselves and for teaching. That's what he's doing. And that saint-seeming deceivers, we just read about imposters, people that put on the garb of godliness but deny its power. Saint-seeming deceivers, watch my language. I can't speak sometimes. That the learning may be buried in the graves of the forefathers, and the Lord assisting in endeavors. In other words, their whole thing is being laid out. Satan's trying to keep the Bible unavailable to people. It is therefore ordered by this court and authority to do something. They're going to order something because the scriptures can't be read, can't be seen. People don't understand them because they can't read them themselves. Why can't they read them? They can't read. If you can't read, can you read scriptures? Unless God gives you some supernatural ability. So here's what they ordered. From the government, in every township, district, section, after the Lord had increased them to the number of 50 households. Wait a minute. How did you get to 50 households? Oh, that comes from the Lord? That wasn't just people? Interesting. They shall then forth with appoint one within their town to teach all such children as shall resort to him to read, and whose wages will be paid by the parents or the masters of such children, blah, 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 by way of supply, provided that those children which are sent to them are not oppressed by paying too much. In other words, let's make this kind of a public opportunity for public school, so the kids can be taught how to read and write, and you, the town, have to pay for it once you got 50 households there. Why does this authority say the kids have to be taught to read and write? Why? So they can read the Bible and write about it. First Public School Act. 1961, stop praying. 1980, get Bibles out of school. 1647, have the Bibles there. Teach them how to read and write. Look at what the great deceiver Satan was able to do. Convinces that that which was right is wrong. Get it out. Next page. I'm just showing you a couple of pages out of the New England Primer. The first ones were in the early to mid 1700s. The New England Primer. They were used all over the United States up until around 1900. And certain variations of them. But I'm just giving you a couple of pages. Look it up online or come and see me. And not today, I forgot to play it, but I've got a couple of New England Primers. Look at what the kids in school in this country in the 1700s and 1800s used to be taught how to read. Here's one page, the Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? They were asked to read that. What's the answer? Man's chief end is to?
Glorify God.
Oh, come on. You can't say that in school.
No. Glorify God.
To glorify God and then do what? Join him forever. This is what they were teaching. All right, that wasn't for first graders. It was more like third graders had to know all of this. They're going to school every day so they can learn how to read and write, so they can understand the scriptures, and this is what they're learning. Okay, down below, here's the first grade, first page out of the section for people to learn to read and write. It's the ABCs. Yeah. Read it. So what's the A stand for?
Adamson.
In Adam's fall, we sinned all. That's how I learned my A. If I was in school using this. How about my B? Heaven to find. The Bible mind. Ooh, can you think of about 20 discussions on that? I'm giving this to you so that you will have this. And if you want to share it with somebody, say, hey, look at what the kids used to learn in school in the 1700s and 1800s here in the United States as mandated when the first Bible public school acts was the Deluder, Great Deluder, Old Deluder, Satan Act, which said they had to learn to read so they could read the Bible. And this is what they were being taught. The book's about that thick and it's about that big around. The New England Primer, look it up. You're going to find wonderful things that will help you open the discussion so that you too can share the good news of Jesus as commanded by God. As we close, take a look at the last scripture from Joshua. Joshua was one of 12 men sent by Moses into the promised land. As spies, they'd gotten up to the entrance. They were getting ready to go in because God said, this is for you. And Moses sends 12 men in to kind of figure out the lay of the land, who's there, what are we going to do, where do we start, all of that. 12 spies go in, 12 spies come back. 10 of them said, oh, we can't go in there. Why not? Well, there's giants in the land. We'll be wiped out. I'm so scared. Two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, came back and they said, hey, let me tell you, the land is filled with milk and honey. It's there. God is saying this is for us. Let's go. So who did the people listen to? Joshua and Caleb and the other 10. And so you know what they ended up having to do? They wandered in the wilderness for 10, 20, 30, 40 years to most of them died off, and it was their kids who finally were allowed to come back in. Not what we've been hearing. Who's the one who's right? God. Who's the one that is good? God. Who's the one that knows right and wrong, good and evil? God. Let's follow God, even if it doesn't make sense to us. So then, at the end of Joshua's life, here's what he said to the people. This is right at the end, verses chapter 24, and I only pulled a couple of the verses. Fascinating reading, the end of Joshua's life. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Joshua had been doing that his entire life. He tried to get the people to go into the promised land, couldn't make them do it, but he followed them, just like you are. He says, put away all those gods and that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt. Serve only God. And if it is evil in your eyes, remember back to our original question, who can decide what is good and what is evil? So if you decide that what is evil, in effect, is good in your own eyes, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, if you choose that serving God is no good, listen to Satan and serve him, then choose this thing whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. Here's what I'm going to ask each of you. Can you, to God, make this last statement and pledge your life, your liberty, your integrity to God with this statement? Lord, but as for me and my house, we will serve you. Amen. Thank you.